This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show. Everybody, we're on until 6:30 today because of the Knick game in Orlando. They start games at 7 for some reason.
I love
Knick game start at 7:30 at the Garden.
Love Orlando. Love everything it stands for.
Why?
It's a great place.
You love Disney World.
Love Disney World. Mm-hmm. Love Universal.
Mm-hmm. Love Disney World more.
Love O-Town. Love Disney the most.
Yeah. Even,
oh, that's a great point.
I'll tell you how far I'll go with Orlando. I love the TV show Fresh Off the Boat.
Great show.
Have no idea about the show.
Really?
No.
No, it's a very good show.
It's about a family that moves from the D.C. area. They move to Orlando, right?
Right. And they're of Chinese descent and just living and trying to get acclimated to Orlando in the 90s.
Okay. Creator, let's move on.
Creator of the show?
Yeah.
Huge Commanders fan.
Okay.
Just so you know.
But I'm saying Orlando, and somebody needs to explain something to me.
Go ahead.
Like I'm 5. Why are Knick games at 7:30?
Nobody's ever explained it to us. Somebody has to explain something to me. Tomorrow's a Ranger game. It starts at 8.
No, I'm going to explain it to you. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Or
as long as it's not lengthy. It's 5 o'clock.
It's a nationally televised game in Canada, and they're trying to do a favor for the Canuck fans. Don't have the game start at 4.
No.
Hey, listen, I'm with you. But you know what? I'm gonna break bread.
We suck.
Pat O'Keefe is going to do the Ranger game in my stead on Friday.
Okay.
Against the Kraken. And so he's going to be shadowing me. We're going to sit down like gentlemen after the show at 7, break bread, and we're going to talk about his game on Friday before we drop the puck against the Canucks on Wednesday. Wow. Nice hour, a little FaceTime with Pat O'Keefe.
Now, I love doing the show till 7. That's
you don't
important
know that.
To me. I do.
Yeah,
but,
sure,
yes, if tomorrow's game ended at 6:30, right,
yeah,
I would be able to make it to Rose Hill to see the sold-out Rose Hill Fordham Rams UMass game. Because if it's at 7, I already had a friend of mine that offered me a ticket. I can't go because I missed the first half of the game.
Now, I don't know if I should say this out loud, but I'm going to. Michael Kay implied during our meeting that he could just walk into the building. Sold out, sans credential. He's Michael Kay. His face gets him in. All right, you believe that, Peter? He can just walk into the Rose Hill gym anytime.
I'm a Scully Award winner.
All right. Fine. I'm not debating
Scully
it.
Award.
It makes
you hear
sense.
That?
I know it.
It makes sense. You have me. He can't make a phone call, say start the game 30 minutes later.
Oh, really? The game's on TV.
He can walk in the building.
That would be impressive.
I can't walk in the building. That was just me being a jerk. I'd have to call up Eddie Cull, the AD, and said, could I have a pass?
Or I
could walk in the
you
building.
You know what? Hook, line, and sinker, man. I really believe
you really
it.
Think I
really
could walk in the building?
I believed it.
Anthony, you're a Fordham guy. You think I could walk in the building?
I really believe it.
I think they'd find a way for you, Mike.
No. I mean,
if you gave advance
kids
notice.
There's guards at the door. They say you can't come in. Then maybe somebody would go to Eddie Cull or Tanya Tetlow and say, can we get Michael Kay in? But just me walking in like I'm the king, I'm nobody.
They let you sleep in the parking garage during that storm.
Well, I would have died if they didn't do that.
That's some story you should tell for a Tales from the Crypt at some point. I think, Peter, Fordham's dribbling up to the timeline. They stop the play clock.
Wow.
They stop the shot clock for Michael to get into a seat and then continue play.
I don't think they would do that.
I believed that story, Michael.
You believed it.
I completely believed that you could walk in, no pass, no ticket, sit anywhere you want.
Of course not.
So let's say that was the case, though. Is it that crazy to say, I'm going to be
this
a little
This is a
late.
Major college game, an Atlantic 10 game. I'm going to have them delay it a half hour. Maybe, you know what, you'll help me out, and you'll call in and say, listen, I want you to stop it. There's no way to stop a game.
Where is this being televised?
I think it might be SNY. Yeah, SNY. You think SNY is going to help a yes guy?
Ratings juggernaut.
I don't know if they'll help a yes guy, but I don't think they'd have a problem starting it 30 minutes later.
Anyway,
they'll get to Geico Sports Night a little later.
Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson were making the rounds today.
Sure,
they
could
both end up being offensive and defensive rookie of the year.
I am well aware.
So Sauce was on Greeny's radio show, which was hosted by Carlin and Canty. That's the way it works. He said he woke up trolling, trying to recruit Aaron Rodgers. Here's Sauce.
I mean, so is Aaron Rodgers.
I woke up trolling that day. I don't know what I was. I definitely did, man.
And then he said, "Hey, Zach Wilson is still my teammate."
Like, Zach's still my teammate. Like, that's not something I feel like I should have even did, okay, to be honest. Because, you know, going against Zach every day in practice, like, I don't know what y'all seen in the game. I can't really speak on that. But, like, going against him in practice, he used to go at me. And he used to make them throws that only guys like a Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers could make. So, like, Zach got a lot of talent, man. So, like, that's on me. You know, I hold myself accountable, you know, for even playing around like that, because at the end of the day, Zach's still my teammate.
The most dangerous thing of young athletes is social media.
Oh, I got to tell you, that was as refreshing a response to that kind of thing as you'll hear these days from the modern day athlete.
Right. I wonder if somebody from the Jets gave him a call.
Well, even
but
so,
but the Jets have no kick coming. They allow players to wear Mike Effing white T-shirts, exactly, so they have no kick coming.
But he took that on the chin.
Yeah.
And said, you know, I shouldn't do that. And did a good job explaining, I thought, how in his eyes, Zach is really talented, while also not trying to be foolish and pretend as if the rest of the world is seeing that, because we're not.
And also, these guys don't have to, like, stand back and go and defend Zach Wilson, because they've said that Zach Wilson's not starting next year. He's going to be learning from the sideline. But to go out and recruit another quarterback, it's just a bad optic.
It is, but your owners said they're going to spend big money,
right,
on a quarterback. So is it so wrong for Sauce to recruit that quarterback when the owners said they're going to spend big money for the quarterback?
No. I got no
– This is not tweeting how bad the offense was last year. This is not bending over backwards praising Mike White at the expense of Zach Wilson, or – trying to recruit him when ownership and the team are saying Zach Wilson's our guy. All those things would have been wrong. Sauce didn't do anything wrong. His owner said we're going to spend big-time money on a quarterback, and he's trying to tell the world that's who we should go out and get. Zach Wilson's yesterday's news. I'm sorry, man.
And by the way, I mean, come on. He's talking about maybe getting the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not saying let's move on and let's go back to Sam Darnold.
Right, but he doesn't have to do it.
No,
he doesn't have to recruit. If he wants to recruit, then pick up a phone and call up Aaron Rodgers himself.
Fair enough.
Why are you putting it out into the
because
Twitterverse?
It's what they
because
do.
All they want to do is be heard.
But it's what they
unbelievable.
Do.
It's if I was running a team, I would try. I don't know if you can. With today's athlete, I would try to corral these guys that you can't do this. You can't do it. You're hurting the team concept. You just are. But I don't think it can be done. Now, let's move to Garrett Wilson. He was on NFL Live on the mothership. And he was asked what the offense needs to take the next step next year.
I would just say, you know, consistency. You know, we know what we're getting each week. You know, with us, we had a really good roster, and we felt like we were in position to go into the playoffs, you know, playing well just to beat Buffalo. And, you know, for us, being young dudes and stuff like that, just being able to finish and knowing what we're going to get, you know, week to week and, you know, as far as practice, games, all that.
Now, he was also asked about possibly having Rodgers as your quarterback.
I mean, yeah, you know, when you hear the name Aaron Rodgers, it kind of, you know, everyone knows, like, that's one of the best of all time right there. As far as talent-wise, you know, for me, I love Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he, you know, the best quarterback of all time. So I got to play against him up in Lambeau this past season, and just watching the way he operates and how he goes about business, you know, I'm confident if we found a way to get him, you know, in the building, we're going to be all right. You know, I'll say that about it. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I don't want to get too involved with it. I'm going to be out there no matter who's taking the snaps, and I'm going to do my job to the best of my ability. But, you know, playing with someone like Aaron Rodgers who could drop as much knowledge as he could on me and, you know, just to play with him would be awesome.
That's a 9 out of 10 answer.
That's very good.
Maybe even a 10 out of 10. He was asked about Rodgers, so he couldn't avoid it, and he answered it the best way you can. Got to stay off social media, guys. You get famous by what you do on the field. You really do. You get famous by what you do on the field, not by what you tweet out.
Yeah, I want to know what active athlete has really helped their business on social media. Active athlete. Because I understand you get, you know, guy, who's the I'm blanking on his name right now, the retired NBA player who's become like a whole Twitter phenomenon. Rex Chapman.
Oh, yeah. He's
right?
Awesome.
Who does a great job, and he's become basically just like a media source practically on. But for an active athlete, I just don't see the upside.
Well, but to Sauce Gardner, right, he apologized. But at the end of the day, he got his message across because of that tweet.
True.
So that's the way they look at it. Yeah, he took it down. Yeah, he apologized for it. But we got the message. We got it. And that's how they look at it. They can't go on every show. They really don't want to do interviews. So if you really want to get a point out there, That's the way the modern-day athlete does it. Back in the day, Michael, when you were a reporter, I'm sure there were players off the record or even on the record that would go to you to get a certain message across about their playing time, where they were in the batting order, how they felt about certain teammates. If they wanted to get a message across, they'd go to a reporter they trusted to send it out into the newspaper. Well, this is their newspaper.
And I don't blame them for using it that way. But the silliness and the dumb things that they put out into social media that they think is clever, and really it's riling up your own teammates and things like that and disrespecting your organization. If you want to say, why did I miss a game yesterday? Well, now you have a direct voice to the people. This is why I missed this game. I hurt my leg. I was dancing at a club. Somebody rolled into my leg that was doing a complicated dance move, and I hurt my leg, and that's why I'm out. Okay, you got it right out to the people. But to say, yo, I really would like to have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. Why? Does that move the needle?
It does. Look, we're talking about a 5 o'clock
no,
in a New York
does
radio
it move
station.
The needle to get Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback?
I don't know.
Does it serve that purpose?
But here's what it does, Michael.
So.
It gets Sauce Gardner letting his fans know, hey, I got you. We want the quarterback too. And so I could see the value in that, right? We all want these athletes to reach out. We wish there was a better way. But you're asking what the value is. The value is he knows the Jet fans want Aaron Rodgers, and he's letting you know, I'm with you. I'd like to have him too.
Interesting. He was asked, Sauce was, about the toughest quarterback wide receiver duo to prepare for.
I would say Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
And Josh Allen. Because you could just tell when you watch their tape, they're not just running routes in the route tree. Like, you got to defend a second play almost every snap when you're going against Josh Allen and the Bills in general. So I would say that group of receivers and that quarterback, man, like it's always the second place for sure. So
that's pretty nice compliment.
Mm-hmm. It's not shocking, right?
Yeah, because he faces them twice.
And, I mean, they're pretty incredible. Has anyone asked Stephon this week at the Pro Bowl activities about him and Josh?
They asked Tay. They didn't ask Stephon.
Tay Diggs?
Yeah, Tay
Buffalo
Diggs.
Bills went out and got who?
Tay Diggs.
Stephon Diggs. Because everybody.
By the way,
I give credit to Keyshawn.
You have to.
Because he did not step on Don.
No, and Keyshawn, he also protected Don. Right. He said, well, this Elder Cocker doesn't know what he's talking about. I got him.
I just, did that wrong to get them confused?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I mean, it couldn't be.
Verbally?
Yeah. No, it's not like wrong morally.
I know that Tay Diggs is an actor or whatever he does. He follows me on Twitter, but he follows everybody. I really don't know.
He doesn't follow me, I don't think.
I bet he does.
No, he does. Let's I'm sure he does.
I bet it all.
I think he follows everyone.
Why would he do that?
He follows like 200,000 people.
Yeah, he actually follows more people than follows him, and a lot of people follow him.
Follow me, yeah.
I misspoke.
Only 9,000 more people than...
Yeah, that's still a pretty significant amount.
Well, you know what? He wants to get information.
I don't know what the motivation is.
Yeah, it was an awful mistake.
And who's the other one from...
I don't know how you get out from under it.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sarah Michelle Gellar?
No, well, yeah, that's not that. No, it's not that. What's the TV show with the...
Love the Love.
No. Heart. Oh, Melissa Joan Hart. Also follows everybody, including me.
But no one but Don is followed by Ruth Buzzi.
Yeah, still got to figure that is. I need to get to the bottom. It's meaning of life. Is there a God? Why does Ruth Buzzi follow?
That could be the name of.
Follows me on Twitter.
That could be getting to the bottom of Buzzi. Could be.
And when she finally, when she decided to follow him, right?
Yeah.
This was Don's reaction.
Finally.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He was just happy to be working. He's had some health issues.
Right.
But he's back, lost a ton of weight, looks great.
Right.
And he was happy to be working, and he was excited for Lafreniere's goal. So that accentuates the call.
Couldn't he get excited without screaming finally on your call?
It's not my call.
It's the world's call.
It's the Rangers' call. Right. I'm just privileged to be the one that makes
it. He's such a sap. But I'm tired of his act.
It's my.
I can't
maybe
wait.
Maybe it's time for you to go.
You think it's an act?
Yeah, it is an act. Because the real Don, you probably want to punch him right in the face.
No, I've never wanted to punch Stemmer in the face.
Stemmer's an older man.
I hate you.
Do you think Don just wants to punch him?
He wants to punch me in the face. Well, I never stepped on one
time.
Of his calls.
All the time.
He compared me to Satan earlier in the show.
He said he prefers Satan.
He prefers Satan over me. And you mean to tell me somebody who stepped on his brilliant call, he doesn't want to discipline them?
You wanted to have the loser of the bet has to bow down to that. I'm not bowing down to you. You're no deity.
That's right. Take a stand, Don.
So I was just trying to, with some flavor, accentuate the fact that I would not worship you.
It was flavorful.
Spencer Dinwiddie was asked about the trade. You know what he said?
What trade?
He felt disrespected by Dallas.
No, he said, we may not be the best trade package, but we're the best looking. And the Nets needed some help in that department.
Aww.
Did he really?
Yeah, I did miss
that
him.
That is hilarious.
Wow.
I liked Dinwiddie a lot. Yeah, didn't like good. When they let go of him the first time. So
let's go to Donnie in Queens. Hello, Donald.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. You?
Good. I wanted to talk about Kyrie a little. I know it's been mentioned a lot, but I mean, I can't remember a less self-aware player in any of the sports I follow. I mean, a real quote out of his mouth today during this Dallas press conference, he said, "I was incredibly selfless in my approach to leading." I don't even know how the person can believe that when
those are actual words that were used?
Those are actual words that Kyrie said today.
I'm going to need that for tomorrow's 7:20 a.m. Congratulations, you played yourself moment.
No,
I'm going to need that.
ENN today.
Sure.
The worst part about it, though, and this is what's disheartening about following the NBA at this point in the NBA, is that as a Nets fan, this is an incredibly disappointing time. It's been an incredibly disappointing 3 years. And I would still do it all over again because it's the only way your team can compete. Because if we trade Durant now, we go back to being irrelevant and tanking for the next 10 years. How could this league survive in a situation where you have to be okay with taking situations like this?
Well, but not necessarily. I mean, are the Celtics that?
Yeah, the Celtics aren't that.
Celtics
the Bucks
are a completely
that,
the Celtics core. The Celtics have a true 3-man core who are all Celtics original
but
draft
picks. But they didn't trade away the house to get them. The Nets trade away the house to get Harden.
No, but that's
and
my
also
point.
Traded away people to no, make
but,
room for Kyrie.
But my point, but his point is that the only way to do it is to take a gamble at the big stars and the Celtics.
No,
the Celtics made smart moves to gather draft picks, drafted right. players,
and the Bucks and you know the Warriors before KD and after KD, they didn't go out and buy their championships or even tank to get to where they are. You know, so there is a good way. Listen. When you look at what Marks did before all this, if they were to strip it down, I'd have faith that in short order he'd have the team competitive again. Now, would they be competing for a championship? Maybe not. They might need a couple of breaks to do that. But you don't think in a few years, Michael, with draft picks and shrewd trades, that he couldn't in 2 or 3 years get this team to be a playoff team again?
He probably could. Now, in answer to that, the main point of that guy's call, how could he be so not self-aware? Right? The reason is he surrounds himself with sycophants who don't tell him the truth. People that are around him, you're the greatest. They're mistreating you, Kyrie. It's not you. You're the smartest guy in the room. From his family right on down. Yep. And I also give a lot of blame to the professional athlete. And it's a lot like a lot of things in this world. If you're part of our fraternity and you do something wrong, we will never call you on it, ever. Because you're one of us. And as Jay Williams said yesterday, they have might have been Richard Jefferson. You don't talk about other people's money. This thing comes down to money. But the disrespected part, they bent over backwards to make this place the landing spot for this guy and for Durant. Bent over backwards. And then everything went to hell. But please, he's not self-aware because he doesn't have people who tells him the truth. I mean, there are people actually calling and defend him that we're wrong about criticizing him.
I want to hear it.
It's amazing. He doesn't get it because people don't tell him. And I put a lot of the blame on players because players are sycophants too. They could Kevin Durant could stand up tomorrow or tonight before the game and say what Kyrie did is inexcusable. He won't. A professional athlete, you know who did? Charles Barkley. Because Charles Barkley's whole gig is he says what other people don't say.
Well, he doesn't have to, and he's not a current
player. And he doesn't have to worry about it. Current players will not rip this guy. No matter how wrong he is, they will not say he's wrong because nothing a professional athlete does is ever wrong to another professional athlete. They might think it, they'll never say it. They are so close-knit and unified that they will always stick up for the indefensible. And in Kyrie's case, I'm sorry, everybody. What he has done is indefensible.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Kyrie, if you just joined us, you know, in a press conference in Dallas, said he felt disrespected at times in Brooklyn. This is what Frank wrote. If he was so disrespected, why opt into his contract last June? Why not just walk? Oh, that's right. No one would pay him what the Nets were paying him. So for the right price, he courageously tolerated the disrespect.
Beautifully said. It's
They're all full of it.
He's a particular level of full of it.
But you said it right, Michael. You surround yourself with yes people. You'll always have a certain percentage of the fans that will support you because they love the way that you play. I'm sure that the Dallas fans will be very open-minded and are excited at the fact that their team improved after this deal. So you've surrounded yourself with just enough people to tell you that everything you do and say is perfect. And it's that old adage, too, with the whole, but me. Like, you just convince yourself, I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong.
Don would put this under the heading of Tonka truck.
Okay.
I'd like it to be a stronger phrase, but I think everybody knows what we mean. So Aaron Rodgers, when he was on McAfee today, said he's going to make his decision soon after the Super Bowl on Sunday that he's going to embark on a four-day, four-night darkness retreat.
Oh, Amina referenced this. I didn't know what she was saying.
A darkness retreat. Yeah. For sure, it's a real thing. 100% of that was of retirement. I've got a pretty cool opportunity to do a little self-reflection in some isolation. And then after that, I feel like I'll be a lot closer to a final decision. Really? So he was asked what it is. It's just sitting in isolation, meditation, dealing with your thoughts. It stimulates DMT. So there can be some hallucinations in there, but it's just kind of sitting in silence, which most of us never do. We rarely even turn our phone off or put the blinds down to sleep in darkness. I'm really looking forward to it. Get over yourself, Aaron.
4-day darkness retreat.
Right.
I mean, retreat, yeah. Not retweet. Mm-hmm. So that kind of sums up the problem, doesn't it? But I agree with him about the social media obsession. Like I'm on my phone right now. I go through phases, and right now I'm in one where I'm totally on it all the time. I feel him. But like, isn't there a middle ground? Like
he said,
knock yourself out.
The retreat will be alone in the confines of a small house. In an undisclosed location. Mm. He said meals are delivered, but otherwise there is no contact with the outside world.
Hmm.
However, he said he could leave at any point during the stay if he chose to do so.
Yeah.
Well, so. Like, if I wanted 4 days to myself to make a big decision, I'd tell Jody, I'm going up to the bedroom, I'm going to close the door, tell the kids not to bother me. That would be it.
Yeah.
I would have to drive to darkness on the edge of town.
Yeah, but
that Springsteen sang about.
But you're a bad example.
How am I a bad example?
Because you're miserable. I mean,
this guy's miserable.
He may be, but I'm just saying you're a different version of miserable.
I'm not miserable. But if I want to be alone, I don't have to go through all these histrionics. Just go up to your room and close the door. He's not even married, doesn't have kids.
But he's saying that's not really alone because you still have the TV and have the phone.
But if you shut the TV off and you shut the phone off and you close your blinds, you're alone. Instead, you're making a big show of the fact, well, I can go to a small house at the edge of town. Stop yourself.
I mean,
Tonka Don.
Well, listen, I'm intrigued by it.
You didn't expect that, Michael.
No, wow. That might be something interesting.
Well, why don't you do
to experience? But I don't know if I got to tell the world about it. As if like, oh, Aaron, tell us more. Well, tell us more about how smart you are.
He's got a weekly spot with McAfee.
Well, we buy into it, right? I mean, every time he's on, we replay it. I mean, that's the thing. I don't even want to complain about it. You know, Kyrie does all these things. Aaron Rodgers does all these things. And we're like, ooh, let's replay it. Let's play it and talk about it.
You're not wrong.
We feed right into the narrative. We do. We're suckers in media. What did Kyrie call us, pawns?
He's right.
That's exactly what we are. We can't get enough of it. They act nosily, and we fall all over each other to retweet it. We fall over each other to play it and analyze it, dissect it.
I fall over myself to say it, so he looks like a complete dolt.
Yeah, you say that, but that's the problem, Michael. They don't even think about that people think they're adult. They just want to be talked about. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And if you think they're adult, then that's on you because you're a moron. That's the way they're going to look at it. So there's no way you can penetrate the skin because they don't care what you think. They just care that you play it and you talk about it. So even if they're getting ripped, they get talked about. Why do you think Kyrie decided to announce that he wanted to be traded on the second Friday before the Super Bowl when there was nothing going on? Zero. You think he would have made that announcement the Friday of the Super Bowl when it would be ignored? No, he waits the week before where there's nothing going on because he knows it's going to get the optimum attention. So Rodgers probably having fun with this. I'm going to go on McAfee. I'm going to tell him that they snort rug cleaner just to see if people will talk about it and retweet
and
it.
And we do.
I'm just telling you. And then when you say, you snort rug cleaner, what's the matter with you? No, Peter, that's on you. You're a moron. You don't know what it's like.
No, trust me.
I'm telling you, we're getting you. I feel used.
You feel
I really
dirty.
Do.
You feel,
I feel dirty.
Dirty.
You know what? I don't want to talk. If I had my way.
Go ahead.
The next time I'd mention Aaron Rodgers' name is when he ends up on the Jets or the Raiders. And then the second time, week one. Kyrie, we'll talk about you when you do something with the Mavericks. We can't. We can't help ourselves. We're tapping our vein to get it bigger so we can inject their stupid juice into our veins.
Well, there's a 24-hour sports news cycle, and we need stories, and these guys give you stories. So, listen, I'm not going to sit here and give us credit. Maybe we should be more innovative and not using it all the time. You're right, Don. It's fed right to us, and we fall for it. Hook, line, and sinker. It's easy content.
I think it's a cheap shot. First of all, Kyrie played for the Brooklyn Nets for a New York radio station. Aaron Rodgers might be going to the Jets. We can't ignore what he's saying.
No, both are relevant to us.
It's not like we're
taking
a player that's not connected to New York and making a big deal out of it.
No, but I'm not getting on you or anybody in particular. I'm just saying that this narrative, which actually breaking down the stupid things he says, he's probably laughing at us.
No, he's probably making up half the stuff that he's doing. I believe that he is so self-important that if he thinks we're laughing at him, he's laughing at us because we're just ill-informed. We don't get him.
We're bona fide morons.
Hey, come out to see this great show this Friday. It's February 10th at 3 p.m.
Woo!
From 317 Main Street. That's in Farmingdale for a special countdown to kickoff broadcast to get you ready for the game. Going to have a lot of great guests, and it's just steps away from Farmingdale Station on the LIRR. Dom's going to get really loaded during the show. We're bringing the big game experience to you at 317 Main Street, brought to you by Jack Daniels, Resorts World Bimini, Grand Marnier, PC Richard & Son, Sloman's, and Ben's Kosher Deli.
They snort rug cleaner.
I'm a pretty big
guy.
I'm a pretty big
very tall.
I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy, and I'm a pretty big sports fan.
I think so.
All yes. Right?
You're not me, but you're a big fan.
All right, so LeBron tonight has a chance to break the all-time scoring
record. And he will,
record.
And I want to bet you on it.
All right. You bow down on me. That's my bet. What $10,000. Do you want from me? What do you want from me? You want $10,000?
Yes. I will bow down and kiss your feet. You give me $10,000. All right,
hold on. How are you really that confident, Michael? You won't break it tonight?
I don't think he's going to break it tonight, no.
Are you 10,000?
No, I'm not 10,000.
How about, Don, let's lower it to a more realistic number.
How about $100?
$100 and then you kiss my feet?
Yes.
Okay, you got it.
You are the worst negotiator of all time.
What do you want me to say?
I've never seen a worse negotiator.
What are you talking about?
I mean, earlier today he said to you, quote, I should be your agent.
Right.
No, you should be no one's agent. That was disgraceful. You were at 10,000 for a foot kiss.
But
you went
10,000 was a joke. You think I'm going to be here for more than 100?
Michael, would you have potentially?
I knew 100 was a maximum.
Would you have potentially played?
No.
Be honest. 1,000 wouldn't have happened.
Listen,
no.
I love you,
he
Peter.
He knows me.
I love you, Peter. You've contributed
500, Michael.
You've contributed a lot to this show.
Thank you.
You're the reason.
Thank you.
But you don't know Michael the way I do.
Wait, Michael, you wouldn't have considered 500?
No. He knew 100 was where I was going.
There's no way.
I'm not even sure he'll come up with 100.
Wait, but by the way, but Don, you're going to kiss his feet tomorrow.
For good radio.
In all likelihood, LeBron's not going to get it tonight. 36 is a big night. I mean, he can do it, of course.
Right, so it's now, Oklahoma City.
You'll see. So Vivid Seats, right?
Love Vivid.
Which is a subsidiary of Vivid Video.
A lot of people don't know that. I do love Vivid.
That would be fun.
They do great work.
They actually send the tickets to you in this big, obnoxious cardboard box.
Yeah.
So somebody, the highest price resale ticket to see LeBron break the record tonight.
Even though you're saying he's not going to.
I'm saying he's not going to, which makes this all the more moronic. How much do you think is the price that somebody paid?
So this is actually the purchase happened.
This is the highest price.
Do we know how good the seats are?
I have no idea.
See, that's such a huge factor.
Yeah, because it's courtside.
If they're courtside, it could be $30,000.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's regular.
You're saying 12 grand, Anthony?
Yeah, I'll go 20 grand.
And Don?
I don't think it's a story. I think it's 50.
50 grand.
Yeah.
The price is $69,160.
That has to be a great seat.
I don't care if you are on LeBron's shoulders. Why would you pay that?
Because you make an obnoxious amount of money.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
How much would you personally have to make before you go, you know what, I'll drop the 70 grand.
70 grand? I don't think I can make that much money.
You like honestly, even if you were making like, $100 million a year.
I really thought I was going to win the $700 million Mega Millions.
Would you do it then?
No. It's obnoxious. You're a complete D-nozzle if you spend that kind of money to see a guy break a record.
Well, here's why you're really.
And it's not even like, it's not Hank Aaron.
But here's the, what do you, well, it's big.
It's not that big.
Are you getting the same kind of juice out of this as we got from Aaron?
Okay, not in terms of conversation, but first of all, we all know baseball records
are bigger.
They've made them big, better or for worse. Sometimes it helps the game, sometimes it hurts the game, but baseball's all about records. But in terms of what the actual... In terms of what the actual feat is, guys,
right.
I could argue it's the greatest record in sports. The number one all-time scorer in basketball.
How much would you have to earn to pay 70 grand to go to that game?
Well, this game, I never would. But like an NBA final, Celtics NBA final courtside seat.
To see LeBron break this record, you wouldn't...
Not
so
70.
Then you're agreeing with me.
I would say if I was in Los Angeles, I could stomach, and someone said I got courtside seats.
Right.
I think I could stomach dropping like $2,500 to see history.
I think that's probably list price. That's probably face value. Yeah.
You're not getting.
You're not really
saying. I'm not.
But
saying
if you're,
much.
Let's say, I don't know who. This is Los Angeles. It could be a billionaire. If you're a billionaire and you're a big basketball fan, appreciate the history, love LeBron, you wouldn't blink at $69,000. Now if you're Steve Cohen,
right? $69,000. He actually has an ashtray in his car.
I wonder who's using our station tickets for the game tonight.
Maybe Scott McCarthy.
There are four of them.
Now, I love things like this because I'm a little vindictive jerk. You ready?
Yeah.
I love it.
So somebody just sent me this picture, and they sent it to you guys too. So have you ever been to JFK Terminal 5, one right near JetBlue?
Well, you sure you want to air this out? I don't want to blow it.
What do you mean?
I liked it already, so.
I mean, I liked it too, but all right, no, go ahead.
So there is a WFAN store.
Mm-hmm.
Sell sports stuff, but the store's name is WFAN.
I wonder how that deal worked, but yeah, like.
And they have a TV in the store.
That's right.
And on the TV.
Yeah.
On the TV in the WFAN
right below
store,
the logo.
Right below the logo. We just retweeted it, if you'd like to see it. The Michael K. Show, simulcast on Yes. Now, I think that their afternoon show, also simulcast on some station, they're choosing to go with this one.
Well, most people do.
Most people should.
I mean, if you look at what's going on here, not a lot of people are making the choice to watch that program. So this is a really...
Well, I mean, since TV ratings are much more reliable than radio ratings, which come in three decades later.
Right.
TV ratings, I mean, more people watch us on TV than that show.
Significantly.
An FAN store. They own the store, I guess. So they have an agreement. They're playing the Michael K.
Show
in their store.
Now you're going to get them in trouble because someone who works for that company who should be listening to another show is listening to this show, and they're going to call someone.
Yeah, but he loves, the guy who's running that store loves the show so much, he'll take the punishment.
You think so?
Of course. He wants this show on.
You should offer something to him. You should give him something.
What can we offer him?
Wait.
Listen, to the guy running the WFAN store, for having the Michael K. Show on your screen, right, I will give you... two Yankee tickets to a mutually agreed upon game.
Wow, that's very, nice. Very nice.
And you have to keep it on, despite that phone call that you're going to get from those nudniks at that station. You must keep it
you
on.
You say, no, this is my
this
store.
This is my store, this is and the, this is the best but, show in the world.
But Peter,
yes, he's showing you right now.
You were afraid we were going to blow up his spot?
Yeah.
The sign would have done that. I mean, you're walking by the WFAN store, and yes is on with us. I mean, it didn't take a tweet to figure out that might not be the ideal thing to do. But you know what? They probably put it on because the Net game was on last night, and they never turned it off.
What are you doing?
What
the hell are you doing?
They put it on because it's the best show to be on.
That's obvious. You know what? You know what, Don?
This just ruins everything.
No, this has been a tough segment because you had the negotiation where you went from 10,000 to 105 seconds.
Yep.
And now you're saying...
I'm just trying to keep it real.
You're not keeping it real.
You're keeping it
real. Keeping it real bad.
You're keeping it real bad right now.
Well, listen, he didn't even want to go on the air with it, and all of a sudden he's playing
the
game.
Well, I wouldn't bury it either. Do you want it?
I don't know if you want to go to the air with this.
The TV probably shorted. It's probably a short.
They had the Net game on last night.
Didn't even think to change it.
All day?
All day.
So they had on the golf show?
Yes, for obvious reasons.
They had on the replay of the Nets for all people with the morning
flights. Yankeeography.
John Sterling with Yankeeography. And now they'll have the commercial that we go to
right now.
I don't think
the guy cares for us at all.
Wow.
I don't think he's a fan.
Can you believe how
he's... Well, you know, Don, he digs in. Now that we've attacked him, he's digging in.
Well, that's... You got to admire that, no?
He can ruin a dream, if you know what I mean. He really could.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks.
It's now time for our ice picks, driven by Nissan. We're going to go with a three-leg parlay today, guys. We've got the Lightning at home against the Sharks. They were miserable last night. Got beat by the Panthers 7-1. They'll bounce back. They're at minus 250. And the Blackhawks are at minus 125 at home against the Ducks. Ducks had to play last night in Dallas and fly to Chicago. But to make it interesting, the third leg of the parlay, I got a feeling the Islanders are going to win their fourth in a row. Minus 115 at home against the Kraken. You parlay those three, that's a nice plus 371. So go with the Blackhawks, Islanders, and Lightning on the money line parlay at plus 371. That's what we're giving you on the BetMGM app. That's our ice picks driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today.
Well, let's see if that comes through, and let's see if his bet with me comes through. I have to give him $100 if LeBron breaks the record tonight. If not, he has to bow down and kiss my feet.
Did not expect that on today's show.
When would this all have to be done at a later date? I'll be at the Garden tomorrow.
I'll come to the Garden for you to do it.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. And today was the day to kiss my feet because I have newly sold shoes on. Mm.
I'm just going to kiss the top of your feet. You're not kissing the bottom.
No, there's only one way to do this. It's Friday at the remote.
Yes.
See, Mike, we're really tapping into how much humiliation he likes. It's very telling.
It's unbelievable.
I want good radio and television.
But I think
him handing me $100 is not the same.
I think your boat gets floated by humiliation.
You do?
Yeah. I want punishment.
I just want good radio. You guys, listen, you guys got other jobs. You guys make a ridiculous amount of money.
True.
I am all about good radio.
But you know what? We do good enough radio that FAN has us on in their store.
It's a great point. And that's without kissing feet.
I really believe in my heart they didn't switch the Net game off from last night.
What a complete nozzle.
Isn't it possible?
Why did they have the Net game on last night? Why wouldn't they have the Ranger game on?
Right.
On MSG.
Because the Nets are on their air. Get it? See? Back? Hour?
No,
back? Get
I think,
it?
I think you're, I think
hour back?
I think you're overthinking it.
Maybe I'm just being that guy.
No, and you're being that guy. Because it's as simple as this. The guy who manages that store isn't an employee of Odyssey. He's not thinking about the radio rivalries. He's watching the show that he wants to watch.
That he likes. The most consumable best show in the market.
Well, not TV.
And that's only if you want smart sports talk and fantastic entertainment.
And not toilet humor.
If you're into toilet humor and half whatever sex jokes, it's not the program for you.
No, no, you should go to that program.
But if you want very veiled sex jokes and a very entertaining program. Right, right. Then you come to this program right here.
I still love to play with Super Bowls.
That was an interesting thing you said.
Oh, boy. You know, are you playing Patrick Mahomes on ENN?
Sure.
Okay, you sure about the catching Brady? Is that?
Yeah, of course we are.
All right, you get as a drop. Let's go to Mel in Queens. This looks like it could be fun. Hello, Mel.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I know I always enjoy the show. You know, we disagree on some things, but I wanted to speak on the Kyrie thing. I think that it was the right thing for Kyrie to do to ask for a trade. I think that both sides ran its course. I think the part that you guys missing is that people support Kyrie because some things you guys say just seem like a narrative. I mean, like I said, the pandemic, you know, we talk about the stepping away because of, you know, the injustice and things like that. I feel like in no way should you guys count that against him. And I think outside of that, you know, that 1-2 week thing, a couple days with Kyrie, took a couple days off. It really wasn't no real issues. And I think you guys are going to disagree. But when you guys kind of talked about Barkley, Barkley talked about black people, you know, being the most hate gays the most, and nobody says anything. Shaq, he pretty much played the movie in his movie theater. Nobody says anything. So it just seems like personal with you guys with Kyrie on this issue.
I like that guy. Why can't he play? He played 55% of the games. Peter said this, if each one's isolated, you can figure it out, but it always is something.
Yeah, you don't feel that way?
You don't feel it's always something with Kyrie?
No, you know why I say no? Because I feel like we're talking basketball. When he came to the Nets, outside of that, yes, I would give you the thing with the family, right? I would give you that. But outside of that, those are the things that were outside of Kyrie's hand. And you guys I was listening to you guys for over an hour, well, more than an hour, but you guys said that, hey, it's not against the Nets because of the pandemic, but you guys want to blame Kyrie. Kyrie missed 55% of the games because of the pandemic. And
That's just part of the 55 games. So if 55%. You gave him back 55%, if you gave him back the games that you're right, it wasn't his fault, although everybody else on the team took the vaccine, but he was making a stand. That's up to him. Personal choice. You take those away, he still missed 50% of the games. It's always something, Mel.
Is it because the injury? But what I'm saying is this: if it's because the injury or things out of his control, that's not on him. Because look at Chandler Parsons.
I'm not saying anything about injuries. How about the tweet about the anti-Semitic movie where he was suspended for 8 games?
Well, I have an issue with that because nobody said anything to Barkley, Shaq.
But two things about that. Like, I hear you, but people at first, no one had any idea that Shaq had shown it in one of his theaters. I still don't even know that that's confirmed. I've only seen Kyrie defenders say that. Second of all, Shaq's not in the league anymore. You know, yeah. Shaq
admitted it.
Oh, okay, but who's going to punish Shaq?
So TNT, but the fact that did he double down? He doubled down on it. He refused to apologize.
He made an excuse.
I'm talking about Kyrie. That here's the thing I'll say. Like, Kyrie could have killed that story at the very beginning, and he didn't want to. Like, he just didn't want to, man. Like, I hear you, but like, isn't part of this just to have let's have a really frank and honest conversation? Isn't there a major part of this that we don't speak about, which is that black folks in this country very often are sick of, and with good reason, are sick of seeing black celebrities get crushed in the media? Like, I get that. I understand that as a defense reason to be like, I'm just sick of seeing a guy who's a good guy. It's not like he's a criminal or some terrible human being get beat up in the media. But like, beyond that, I just don't see the reason that people defend him. Like, I don't see what
because
he's given.
This is my last comment, being realistic. Because here's the thing. Every time it comes to Kyrie, everybody remembers everything. It's like Shaq posts the same
again, stop with the
movie,
Shaq.
Right?
Who cares about
Shaq?
It doesn't matter. He's a Brooklyn Net. What's your favorite team?
Right.
What's your favorite team?
I mean, my favorite team is the Lakers.
Played in 55% of the games and then demanded a trade, you'd be on board with that?
Well, if considering the circumstances that we suffered the last 3 years, those circumstances or injuries, yes. Yes. I mean, what else can you do? Everybody, we were in a place in America that was unseen, uncharted territory, and it seems like Kyrie became the face of it. And I just feel like, and a lot of people feel like that's the part that's unfair, because when everybody else does it, we want to kind of like gloss over it.
But you say everybody, but again, he's not on a team. If Shaq was on a team, if he was on the Brooklyn Nets, we would be attacking Shaq. We'd be having a conversation about Shaq. Why does it have to be everybody else? We're talking about Kyrie and what happened in Brooklyn.
How about like he missed games because of the social unrest in the country? LeBron didn't. LeBron is very socially conscious. Why was Kyrie the only one that missed them? He couldn't bring himself to play.
Wait, no. Avery Bradley, he missed the game with he was on the Lakers. He missed the championship because he chose to set out. I think a few guys set out. It wasn't just Kyrie. I mean, Bradley Beal, he didn't take the vaccine.
It didn't affect the Wizards, Mel, because they didn't have that same rule in D.C.
Again,
they have a rule in New York City. So he missed half the games.
And the other thing that I hate about this narrative, and I feel like we're beating up Kyrie to defend our only points, is that why does the narrative always have to be, Peter, well look what Shaq. We're not talking about Shaq right now, okay? Who is gonna suspend Shaq? TNT? Shaq doesn't represent a league. He doesn't represent a team. He's not in a team anymore. And you said we can't even confirm the story that it was played in the theater. And did Shaq double down? Did Shaq, like, refuse to apologize? I don't know, because we don't care about Shaq. Shaq doesn't play for the Brooklyn Nets in New York, destroying a team. And if each individual moment you can apologize for, but it just always seems to be something. You bring up other players. It's not Kyrie. It's not New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.